Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey Rochelle.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, and I say again for the last time, good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Saturday Spotlight. It is Saturday, January 9th, 2021, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L. And this is your weekly evening Saturday episode of the Saturday Spotlight. Tonight, we talk to author Joyce Brown, who hails right here from Chicago, Illinois. Author Joyce Brown is no stranger to the literary world, and we chop it up with her tonight. But first, as always, we get into the weekly recap. And what a week. What a week it has been. Man, so where do I start? Well, I get into what I know y'all know I'm going to talk about what went on this week. I just want to say that I started the book of the month. As you all know that listened to the show last week, I made Midnight by Sister Soldier the book of the month. So I started reading Midnight. And I had so many mixed reviews from people that I was seeing that read the book already. Granted, the book wasn't all that. Some people said the book was. People said it wasn't all that. People said it was boring. Some people said it was good. Vice versa, blah, blah, blah. I picked the book up myself, and I want to say that I have enjoyed reading this book so far. I can understand why so many of the ladies said that this book was not really, really good, because this book was geared more towards the fellas. This book was geared more towards the fellas, so it didn't really have that coldest winter ever feel, I guess, that most of the ladies wanted. This book, Midnight by Sister Soldier, is geared more toward the guys. It's about Midnight, an African guy, boy named Midnight. And it's a big, pretty thick book, but what I've read so far has kept my interest, and I plan on finishing that and going forth with the coldest winter ever next month. I'll talk about that next month, but next month's book will more than likely be the coldest winter ever, because Sister Soldier's sequel, Coldest Winter Ever, is dropping in March. So for this month, if you have not heard or did not listen to last week's show, the book of the month is Midnight by Sister Soldier. You got a month to read that book, because it is a total of 400 and I think 90-something pages. But it's a very interesting book. So if you start now, I'm on 106, but I'll probably be to probably 2 or 3 something by next weekend, because the book is that interesting. It's been times at night where I couldn't sleep this week that I picked up this book to read this book. So the book of the month, again, if you did not know or did not listen to last week's show, is Midnight by Sister Soldier. Pick it up if you're not reading anything. It will give you enough pages to read to keep you going to the end of the month. Or you might finish it beforehand or whatever. But the book of the month is Midnight by Sister Soldier. Okay. So let's recap this crazy week. What is going on in America? First of all, I want to say congratulations to the Democrats and congratulations to Georgia. We went blue. Georgia has went blue the first time. I don't know if it's been many years or the first time in years, but Georgia went blue. So that means Mitch McConnell is out of the Senate. And are we so happy about that? Yes, yes. Yes, while all this other chaos and confusion was going on this week, when they stormed the Capitol, Georgia went blue. Georgia went blue. Can y'all believe it? Went blue. Went blue. The southern states have went Democrat instead of Republican. But before that happened on that day, what was going on in America? Did y'all see what was going on, and did y'all see how I just can't fathom it still myself. I was sitting at work looking at my TV like, are you serious? You cannot be this serious right now. All these people are storming the Capitol, breaking into the Capitol. I felt like I was watching the riots from the summer when everybody was rioting here in Chicago and over the... That's what I felt like I was watching again. But it was with white people, Trump supporters. Let me put a more less harsher word to say than that, because I do have some white relatives, do have white friends that I love to death. Trump supporters. But I have to say this. Had there would have been black people that would have tried to at least get on a step to the Capitol, we wouldn't have made it. You would have seen blood everywhere, blood, brains, and bodies everywhere. But Trump supporters do it. They get into the Capitol, trashing offices, standing off fights with the security that was there, the police officers. I was sitting at my job amazed with my mouth dropped, like, what is really going on in America today? Y'all are that upset because this man has lost the election, that he pumps and primes y'all up to go to the Capitol to storm it, and y'all do it. And then he's sitting back. I see these videos with him sitting back, and he's watching it all unfold. So it wasn't like he had nothing to do with it, especially with the little speech and everything he gave prior to them doing that. But he was sitting there watching it unfold. So this made me lose even more respect for this man. I've never had respect for Donald Trump ever since he's been president. And this has really left a really disgusting taste in my mouth. And I know it's not our circus, our monkeys, black people, but this has affected everybody. So with the saying goes, not my circus, not my monkeys, but you kind of feel it has affected you, because it's like, had it been Black Lives Matter, a group protesting peacefully, the dolls, the tear gas, everything would have just been came out quickly, more or less than with them. They got a chance to get in that, and then it's like everything kicked off afterwards. But had we would have done it, it would have been a different story. And then you had them going into the Capitol taking pictures. Taking pictures with security. Then you got, I've been watching the news, you have that it was some law enforcement, firefighters and stuff from New York that were there in the crowd protest. So it's like all this is just all unfolding. But it all boils down to one thing, and that has always been said. America is a racist country. It's nothing more to say about it. And I'm sorry to say if my white friends and family members feel some kind of way when I say that, but you all know the truth. And the truth is the truth. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And I'm just going to speak it. Tell the truth, shame the devil. America has always been a racist country, no matter how you look at it. White privilege is definitely, definitely high profile. And it's just, it's enough is enough. Donald Trump, it should not have even took this. Donald Trump shouldn't even been the president of the United States. I don't understand how it was possible to have him get elected to be the president. He is a clown. And the whole entire time he's been in office, he has done nothing but tear America apart. So there's no other way to put it. But I really, really, really just, I'm just disgusted. I'm tired of seeing him. And I hope this second impeachment comes about. I hope they charge him. I hope he gets put away. And everybody else that had something to do with this too, that was on stage with him, his son, Rudy Giuliani, all the rest of them, they need to go too. Ted Cruz, they need to go too. They need to go, because they just as racist as him. They don't care about minorities, and all this makes no sense. And for these Trump supporters, all them that they catching one by one that they arresting, they need to get put up under the hold too. Get them the same type of treatment y'all would give minorities and black people had it would have been us that did it. Don't spare the rod. Give them the same type of treatment, because it was no excuse for that. none of that went on. And I just, like I said, I was just really just, my mouth was just on the floor at work. Like, are these people really storming the Capitol like this? And then they was going after people. You could hear them in certain videos saying, I want Nancy Pelosi's ass, and all that. You could hear them saying that. And then for them to go in there and trash her office. And the guy sitting up there taking a picture with his feet on her desk. That was the killer for the week. Him and that other guy that carried the monument or whatever it was that was on. I just, it was so funny but so sad at the same time. And it's like I said, America is a really racist country. And it just all boils down to that. They elected Trump because they knew Trump was a bigot. They knew Trump was a racist. And that's why Trump got in the office. And he just swore up and down. Because I heard him when he said it before the election results came in for him and Biden. He said he knew it. I won it. I'm not even going to argue with it. I won it. You ain't won nothing. And that goes to show you that that's what you get. You thought you won something and you didn't. And now it's like, now you want to cause all this ruckus, this riffraff, all this other stuff that done went on. And it is quite ridiculous and kind of sort of embarrassing to other countries to see us going through this. But I know, like I said, a lot of black people have been like, not my circus, not my monkey. But it kind of does affect us, too, because it's like, this is a disgrace. You see all this on TV. You see all this going on. The man should have never got into office. I voted for Hillary. I'm sorry to say, I don't know that I voted for Hillary. I didn't want the man in that. So, I look at it and just shook my head. I'm so glad he only got 11 more days in the office, I think it is. But they need to impeach him, and they need to go forward with everything in that impeachment. This is the second impeachment, and everything needs to go forth with that. Because had it would have been Obama, and I'm going to say it again, had it would have been President Obama, he would have been out. The first day this went on, when they showed the riot, he would have been gone that night, out of office. So it's no other excuse for it but white privilege. And it's just, I don't never know if it's going to ever stop. This goes back to 300 years before. But that's the bottom line. Look at it. It's white privilege. And I'm sorry to say, it's ridiculous. America has showed you in the 4 years that Trump has been in the office how racist that America is. We was already there. But these racists have really sprung out. They're lashing out with their tongues and their words because he's been in office. So I'm ready to see him go. He should have been gone, should have never been in there, whatever. And they need to go ahead and press charges with him and get him up out of there because he should have never been president. He didn't do a good job. He didn't do nothing for us. It don't even stem from even the coronavirus. This before that. He was already messing up the country as it was and wasn't doing his job. So I'm ready for him to go. He needs to go. That's on that. And I'm ready for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to get in here and strut their stuff. They may not be able to put everything back into order sufficiently because of what Trump done messed up. Same thing happened with Obama and Bush. But I'm ready for them to get in here and strut their stuff for the Democrats and get this country to where we need it back to be. Let's make America great again with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Moving on. So, I told y'all that I had good news for you all as far as what something happened to me at work that I had been sitting on. Well, for those of you that did not know, my grandmama passed. Talked about that last week. We laid her to rest. But in the midst of that, I had been sitting on some good news from my job. So, before I found out my grandmother had passed, my old supervisor, who has moved on to another position, had advised me to get online and look at the jobs that were opening up for my job again. So I got on there and I looked, and lo and behold, the position that I wanted a couple of months ago was up again. So I looked at it and I said, should I apply for this? Because the first time I did a couple of months ago, brother didn't get it, but it was kind of because I hadn't been there that long. I just started the job. And it'll be a year that I've been with my company in March, right before the coronavirus really hit, when they shut everything down here in the state. It'll be a year to that date that I've been at my company that I'm at now. But needless to say, I went and applied for it again. And this past Tuesday, I got the welcome letter in my email for the new position. So kudos to me. I am going from patient registry to healthcare coordinator. And I say this to tell anybody, because I came from the nursing facility for 3.5 years. I worked at the nursing facility, and I also went from that to working patient registry. And you could do anything that you want to do if you put your mind to it. Don't let nothing hold you back. If you want to get a skill, if you want to learn something new, get off your ass and do it. If you feel like it's something that you feel like you want to accomplish in life, get off your ass and do it. Because I come from front desk patient registry to now going to my own desk and my own cubicle doing healthcare coordination work with a major pay raise. And it's all because of God. My job that I have now is all because of God. And I know I kind of cursed in the middle of this, but I can, I'm not perfect. And I'm only human. But I will say this. Everything is, I owe it all to God, because some of y'all know the situation I came from before I came to the company I'm at now, where I was dealing with racism with a supervisor. And it was the supervisor that I had now. And I will say her name, Sophia Wren. And I tell Sophia all the time, thank you for saving me from the situation that I was in before I came to where I am now. You just do not know how you saved me. And it's like ever since then, she has had a heart of gold. She has led our team at the front desk. I was sad to hear that she was moving on to a different position. But everything in life has to have change. Change is a sign of growth. And this is why I stepped out on faith. Apply for the position again, and here it is, I have it. I start the position in another 2 weeks. So I'm moving from registry to healthcare coordinator, and I'm very, very much excited to it, but I say I owe it all to God. So thanks be unto God for the opportunity. I'm happy about it, and I'm ready to go into my next level and new dimension of life to see what things are going to lead me. So thanks to everybody that's giving me congratulations, kudos. Like I said, it's a dream come true. And like I said, anything that you want to accomplish in life, anything that you want to do, you're never too old, you're never too young to do it. But you got to get off your ass and make the first step to do it. You cannot keep procrastinating and saying, I want to do this. Get it done. Because when you get it done and you accomplish it, you feel so good about yourself. That's all I have to say to that. So, as always, this show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. And they're located at 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. They're open tonight till 10 p.m. Their hours are Sunday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And you can call your order in at 219-951-0695. Pick up or order online. They don't have in-dining delivery because of the coronavirus. Or get it delivered through DoorDash visiting gary.beggarspizza.com. And again, they're located at 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. They're open till 10 tonight, and their number is 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stony, located at 8126 South Stony Island in Chicago, Illinois, home of the famous jerk fries, Salmon Burger, and the Mickey's Classic Burger. You can call in or get your order in online. They're not doing any online. They're not doing any in-dining dining as well either. Any indoor dining. I know words are getting jumbled either. You can call in or get it delivered. Their number is 773-902-2800, and they're open till midnight tonight. That's Mickey's on Stony, located at 8126 South Stony Island Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Their number is 773-902-2800, and they may not be open till midnight. It may be 10, so I'm going to have to check that again because I know things have changed from COVID hours. So it may either be 10 or it may be 12. So if you're trying to get something from them, you better call right now. The bar, Raise the Bar, and we all know that Jennifer Coles, the co-owner or owner of Raise the Bar, as I've been telling you all, is running for mayor of Markham. So Markham residents, punch Jennifer Coles. Jennifer's family is no stranger to leadership in Markham. Her mother, Cherry Coles, God rest her soul, was the clerk of the circuit court for Markham. So Jennifer Coles, her daughter, is now running for Markham mayor, and she's the owner of Raise the Bar. Raise the Bar is located at 3350 159th Street in Markham, Illinois. Their new hours of to further notice is Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and they're closed Sunday and Tuesday. Their number is 708-566-4088. They have daily specials. Call ahead to see what they have in store for you for that day. Their sweet variety is offered every day, and they're open. Their sweet variety shop. It's open every day. They're open as well. And they have catering and event menus that they do as well, too. They have catering, and they also do cakes, cookies, cupcakes, things of that nature, too. Due to the COVID right now, they're only having one person per pickup, per delivery, per curbside. You can order online or through Grubhub.com as well with them, too. And their number is 708-566-4088. And Pop Culture Popcorn, home of the 50-plus flavors of popcorn. They're located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. And their hours of operation are Saturday and Sunday, Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. They're closed Monday and Tuesday. And their phone number is 708-825-9105. And that's Pop Culture Popcorn. They're located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois. And their number is 708-825-9105. Okay, so now we have come to the hour of time where we talk to the author of the week. And that author is none other than my friend, the one and only, Joyce Brown. And Joyce Brown is no stranger to the literary world here in Chicago. Joyce Brown is no stranger to readers as well. And Saturday Spotlight, I want y'all to give it up. And welcome on tonight's show, Miss Joyce Brown. Joyce, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I am wonderful. I have just been sitting here in amazement listening to you lay it out for the people about what's going on in this country and what's at stake. So I'm just excited to be here and be your guest tonight.
And I'm glad you're here, Joyce. I'm glad you're here because we're going to talk tonight. Yes, I'm so glad you took the opportunity to want to be on. I'm excited as well.
Where do we start? I must admit that I'm not real familiar with your format. I know that you've been doing this a while, and I have to admit I'm not familiar with your format. So just tell me what you want to talk about.
Okay, well, first, before we get into everything, tell the listening audience who Joyce Brown is, how long you've been writing, how many books you done wrote, all of that good stuff. Go ahead and just lay it out for them.
Okay, I have been writing for the past 7 years. However, I came to writing late. I used to have a career in consulting, in human resources, in management, in social services, all of that. Went to school for a number of years, got a doctorate 20-some years ago, and was enjoying life. And then I got sick. I mean, I got so sick that I couldn't work, I couldn't take care of myself, and nobody was sure I was going to make it, but I made it. And when I got back to myself, my doctor said, you can't go back to work, so you got to figure out a new life. And so I decided that even though I couldn't go back to a job, that I could write my stories. I could talk about the things that I wanted to talk about. I could put information out there, let people have conversations. And so that's what I started doing. I just started writing. As you can imagine, some of my first stories weren't that polished. It took me a while to figure out who I was. I tipped my toe into just the straight romance writing. Everybody was writing romance, and I was like, let me try it. But I'm really not a romance writer. I am just simply a woman who looks at the world and says, let me just talk about what's going on in the world. I've written 7 books, and so this last book was something that just happened. I mean, it was something that was on my heart that I wanted to talk about. And so one day this character sat down and started talking to me. His name is Reese Thompson. He started talking to me, and that's where my last book, Winter's Lament, came from. And that's what I've been doing, working on this for the last couple of years, and finally got it published.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And you said you wrote 7 books. Okay, because I got 2 of them, What You Can Get Away With and Getting Away With Everything. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I had gotten better. I have a couple that I wrote before that when I was, you know, just as they say, learning my craft. And then I was in a couple of anthologies. So those were short stories that I wrote with other writers. And so I did those. I did part of, a group of women who were really telling their testimony. So I told my testimony in another book. And then I hate to say this, I have a couple books that I wrote, and then when I got done, I didn't publish them. So I have a couple of things sitting here that need to find their way into somebody's publication, because they're just sitting here in my house waiting for me to get up and get them out of here.
Okay. And have you started accomplishing that, or are you like writing anything new, or...
Yes, I have something that I actually sent to an editor just before Christmas, and it's entitled They That Wait, and it will be hopefully coming back from the editor pretty soon. And then the last thing that I'm working on right now is a story about a woman who was murdered by a man that she had put her faith and trust in, and her soul can't rest. And so she's in the process of helping the police track down her killer. So I'm hoping to get that finished up in the next month or so and get that out to a publisher as well.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You
and
got a busy place.
I'm inside. You know,
right.
COVID is that thing that keeps people like me inside. I told you that I had been sick. Well, you know, I have a bad heart, and so I can't afford to catch COVID.
Be out. So, yes, ma'am.
So
and I've been inside too, like you. So
So I make it my business to go outside when I need to. You know, take care of my PPE, whatever I need to do, get out, do what I need to do, and get back in the house. Also, because I didn't think it was going to last this long, I started making wreaths, saying, oh, let me just try my hand at that. And so now I'm sitting here with a house full of wreaths that I made this past year. So I've decided to do something interesting. I didn't sit around and feel bad. You know, waiting for the science. Like you said, we got to get rid of Trump so we can get the scientists in here to deal with this virus. It's not going away on its own. And we've got to get a vaccine. And we've also got to get people back to understanding what health care means. So a lot of this spread we're having now, part of it is because people are tired of being inside, and so they figure, I'm just going to take my chances and go on out there, when they're literally not only putting themselves at risk, they put their grandma at risk.
Yes.
You know, I would be their grandma, you know. So they're putting people like me at risk, even though we do all the right things. Somebody can just walk up in our house and be asymptomatic, and it's over. So we got to have a little bit more care for each other as we go through this next. It's gonna be another year. We're not out of the woods.
I think so too.
Because we elected a new president, we're not out of the woods.
I think it's gonna be another year too, Joyce, before everything goes back to normal. Because like you just said, to what we just seen. It's like if these cases are still constantly going up. Look at California, and it's like,
And California started out good. I mean, California started out saying, let's lock it down. Let's lock it down. Mm-hmm. See, that's one of the things about being in the house. I get to watch a lot of TV, a lot of different channels. And California mm-hmm. tried to do the right thing. You know, Michigan, where I came from, they tried to do mm-hmm. the right thing. Illinois even tried to do the right thing. But then people decided they were tired of listening. They wanted to have their own way. And this is exactly what happens when people just decide they know more than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And what a shame that, you know, what's coming, the outcome of it all is. And like you said, the people that's not in the house, either that's not in the house, they have to be careful coming over to visit you. Or like me, my mom and stepfather, my stepfather has pre-existing conditions. So coming there, I have to be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't be, you know. So, this is some trying times, but definitely we got to take health care a little bit more seriously. And that's kind of why I'm kind of glad I got the position I took for it and went for the promotion, because I've always had a love for health care. So mm-hmm. this is furthering my education and everything in it as well, too. So, it's not going, like you said, it's not going away, and we got to be more careful. We do.
Well, I have to say, though, congratulations. I've been following you over this past year, and I've seen the moves you've been making. And, I say to everybody I know, if you can get more education, if you can get more training, get it. Because that's
something
nobody can take away from you. And
exactly.
You don't know where it's going to lead you. It may not,
yes.
You know, the steps are still tough for us. We still got to deal with racism. And we got to fight racism. But that means you got to be prepared when the opportunity comes. When the opportunity knocks, you got to be ready to walk in that door. So when that woman called you, you were ready. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I tell mm-hmm. young people when I meet them all the time. Be ready. Don't
mm-hmm.
worry about what they are not going to let me do, because you don't know.
Right.
You get yourself ready.
Right. Yes. So since the COVID, Joyce, and being in the house, have you had more inspiration on writing? Have you went through any writer's block, or has everything flowed naturally? Have you had a point where you just want to say forget it, or has everything just always, since the COVID been going on, you've been writing, has it just all came full circle for you?
Well, you know, actually, I think it has been helpful, because like I said, I had a number of things that I had started, hadn't finished, or hadn't felt was, you know, tight enough to send out to an editor. And so I have really been looking at and improving my writing and just trying to say, okay, you know, and this is not more, but this is just fact. One of these days I'm not going to be here. I want somebody, even if I haven't published the stuff, to be able to say, hey, this is ready to go. Let's get somebody in here to publish this stuff, because it's ready. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been tightening up. I've been reading other people's stuff. Actually, right now, I'm back reading one of Elin Harris. He's one of my inspirations, and I know you talk about him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's one of my inspirations, because he was one of the first, I won't say one of the first, but he and James Baldwin and people like that have always given us a dose of reality about life.
Yes.
They haven't sugarcoated what's going on in the world. Other people tiptoe around stuff. And so I love his writing. And so I've been, you know, like I say, rereading some old things that I have here. But mainly I've been perfect. And like I say, I think my writing is stronger than when I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling good about it.
Okay. And I remember the very first time I met you was at the South Highland Public Library Book Fair. It was me, you,
yes.
Rebecca Cole.
And
it was supposed to be another guy, but it was just me and you and Rebecca that was there.
Yep.
And the connection has just been divine ever since then. And it's been how many years for that, Joyce?
That's been 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it has been about that because I think it was about that because I think it was when I first started at the nursing home I was at for 3.5. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you
it's
were
been
yeah,
that
you
long.
Were, yeah, you were brand new and on fire. You
mm-hmm.
had your whole family
mm-hmm.
there. They were pushing your books. Yeah.
Yes, and then
so,
you and Rebecca and then
so yeah, and Rebecca's doing good. Like I said, I've been following you guys. Every time you get something out there, I'm like, okay, look at this. This is good.
Yes, 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 yes. So I didn't know it was the 7 books. So I know you said some are your anthologies that you've written too, like short stories.
I've got some short stories and a couple of anthologies out there.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you enjoy writing more short stories, Joyce, or do you like enjoying writing full novels?
I prefer the full novels. I prefer those because it gives me a chance to really get to know the characters and just have, you know, more interaction with them. And sometimes I write the short stories just because I'm being silly. Some stuff will never leave my house because I'm just being you know, it's when you want to say something to somebody, but you can't really say it to them. So I just pick up a pen and paper and just write a nice short story, you know. And
that's our therapy as a writer, right?
Yeah.
That's our therapy, Joyce, as writers.
It's like, okay, I got that. Okay, just let me lay that over here. Who knows? It might come back around.
Right.
It might come back around. But
okay.
it really wasn't meant for public consumption.
Not yet, at least. Oh, wow. Yes, yes. So has it been the 7 years that you've been writing? Or, what was your first love for writing? When did you fall in love with writing books?
Well, actually, I was having this conversation with someone just recently. I fell in love with writing as a little girl. So I've been writing forever. And I was the little girl that was asked to give the speeches in church. And so I would write my own speeches. And then I went to college. And I took an English class. And I'll never forget this because my teacher told me that my writing was too subjective. And that just broke my heart to have somebody tell you that something that you do is just too subjective. And so I really kind of stopped writing for other people. I kept writing for myself. I kept doing things, but I just kind of stopped writing for the public. And that went on for way too long. Then when I went to work, I often wrote editorials for the newspaper, or I might have to write an article, for something that was happening at work. But I just kind of started picking it back up. And I am nosy, so I have lots of journals filled with lots of short stories that never got published. And then I really came back to my writing when I was caregiver for my sister. My sister had cancer, colon and ovarian cancer, and I was her caregiver for 3 years.
Okay.
And we did lots of stuff together, and we did a lot of talking. And she encouraged me to write. She was like, "You need to be writing." And so that last 6 months when she was just so ill, because as you know, when people get that ill, people go away because they don't want to come around. They don't want to be a part of that. And so it was just the two of us. And so I started writing. She would sleep a while, and I would write while she was asleep, and then I'd read to her what I'd written. And then when I got through my morning period, of about 6 months after she died is when I really sat down and started to write in earnest. And so the book, What You Can Get Away With, that came from that time when my sister was ill. That is the book that came out of that time. You know, and it's okay. Everything that I write, you know, slightly based on somebody I know, slightly based on on situations
okay.
that you know, I just needed to talk about. And so I couldn't talk to the people involved in it, so I talked about it to myself.
And I found myself doing a little bit of that too, so I know what you mean by that.
Yeah, because you know, you just want to go and hit people upside the head and say, "Do you
right.
see what's going on around you?"
Okay.
I know you see this. Everybody
right.
else see it.
Right. Where you been at?
Yeah. Where you at?
Yeah.
You know, and so if I get a little vengeance in the process, then I feel good.
Okay.
I feel like I got it.
Yes.
But I can move on.
Right. There you
that's
go.
I stay healthy. You write it, then you move on.
Yep. That's the ticket to it. Right there. Yep. Right there.
Yep. And you know, and that was a lot about how I came to write Winter's Lament, because I've been in the church all my life, and you know this because you're in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And people in the church can just be cruel to
oh, yeah.
anybody
oh, yeah.
who they think is different. You know, and instead of embracing people and talking to people and trying to understand what's going on with people, we get vicious in the church. And so I decided, even though I have to say, I didn't plan to write this story. I tell people this all the time. This story was not one I had planned to write. And that was why it took me such a long time. But at the end, it wouldn't go away. So I just had to write it.
Okay. And is that, like, out of all your books you've written, is that your favorite one? Or what would be your favorite one that you've written?
Yeah, I think it is. I really
okay.
think it is. Because I think by now I figured out what kind of writer I am. You know, I'm not somebody who has a formula. When I sat down to write this book, I didn't have, like, a script of, this is what's going to happen first, and this is going to happen second, and this is going to happen third, and this is how it's going to end. I didn't have any of that. It was truly a blank sheet of paper. And this story just simply started to emerge. And sometimes I used to laugh at people when they said, my characters are talking to me and they're keeping me up at night. Well, these people literally kept me up a bunch of nights, because it was like, would y'all just shut up? I really do want to go to sleep. I'm tired right now. And
okay.
And they wouldn't, you know, and they'd be mad at each, I mean, they were all mad at each other. So, of course, you know, they're telling their side of the story, and they go back and forth and all of that, and I'm like, okay, so I just got up and said, let's do this thing. And that's how we ended up, and that's how it became A Winter's Lament, because it happened in the winter that I was writing on it. It was one of these, you know, bad winters where it snowed every day. I couldn't go outside. I couldn't do anything. So it was like, let me just listen and talk with these characters.
Okay.
And, you know, and they worked it out.
So, Joyce, three things that you would give somebody that's starting out to write that came in to save you before. I know you probably gotten this, but what does it take to me to write a book, or what inspiration, what three things would you give someone to say here's how to write a book or to start? What three things of advice would you give them?
First thing I want to tell them is be serious about it. We got enough junk out there. We got enough trash out there. So make sure that you are telling a good story. I don't care if it's written in vernacular or if there's a lot of cussing, although you can tamp down some of that cussing for me. But tell a story so that somebody might be enriched by what you want to write. I think that's the first thing I would tell somebody. I would tell the person the next thing is don't think you're going to get overnight success. Even the people who we now look up to, like Eric Jerome Dickey, who just died this week, and I've read lots of his work,
yes.
Or Elin Harris, you know, he sold books out of his car when he was first getting started. Everybody now talks about him because he's the man. But he started selling books out of his car and had a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So the chances of overnight success are slim. But if you stick with it, get better, you can make it in this world. The third thing is something that I'm still just learning. You got to get out there and meet people, because there are people writing every day. I mean, there are hundreds of books being published every day, and some of them are really good. People don't know how to talk about their books. Or they don't get, you know, in front of people who would be interested, because not everybody reads the same thing. Not everybody is looking for what you write. And don't be discouraged by that. And just be honest about what you write, because even if your work is controversial, because this little book that I wrote is controversial, but I felt strongly enough about it that I said, I want to tell this story, and I'm going to tell it in the best way that I can, because that's what a writer does. They're not talking about, I'm going to win the next, you know, NAACP Image Award, or, you know, I'm going to be on the next show where people are, you know, coming up and giving me awards. Now, I'd love to have that, please. So if you know somebody, I'd love to have that. But that's not why I write, and that's not why you should write. You should write because you have a story to tell, because you want to leave something in this world that helps it get better.
Okay. Well put, I must say. Well put. And Joyce, what do you got coming up for yourself this year, 2021? Is there anything, any special events? What's coming up for you?
Well, I want to get outside. I'm telling you, I want to get outside.
I know that's right.
I want to do some festivals. I want to get out in front of people. Like I told you, I sat around here all last year and made these wreaths. So I'd like to get me a chair in a park, put my wreath behind me, and sit there and talk to people about my books. That's what I really want to do this summer. I just want to be around readers and you know, and people. And I'd love to, you know, just talk to people. I'm not normally that big of a talker, but I find now that I've been in the house for about 10 months that I talk a lot when I see people.
All right. And I've been doing the same thing, like trying to see any kind of events that I might want to do. But with the COVID going on, it's like it's so hard to get out. But I just want to do the same thing, get out and be around people that like to read. And I've been reading other people too in this little break I've been taking from writing. So I definitely understand what you mean about that, about getting out and being around readers. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And the other thing I would tell people who want to write, this is my, and I know I gave you my 3 points here. Read other people's writing. Not because you want to copy their writing, but everybody has a different style. When I read Kimberla Lawson Roby, I mean, she's one of the cleanest writers that you can find in terms of how she writes. And so you can learn a lot about the craft by reading people. I mean, you, Jeffrey, you know, when I met you, I thought you were this nice, quiet young man. And then I started reading your stuff, and I'm like, whoa, there's a lot behind this young man that you wouldn't know just by looking at you. And so read other people's work. Because it can help you. And if there are classes, you know, they offer classes. One of the things I really would like to do is take one of these cruises where people, you know, play around, but they also have classes and they have instructors there, people who can give you feedback on your writing and, you know, and encouragement and, you know, and also kick your butt if they think you're not giving it 100%.
Right.
All of those kinds of things. It's just like the work you do at the hospital. You learn a little bit, you practice it, you have to learn a little bit more, you make a mistake, you got to fix it so that you don't make that same mistake the next time.
Right.
You're steadily growing and improving, and you don't know who's watching you. Like you said, you know, the lady was watching you and you didn't even know she was watching you. But then she tapped you on the shoulder. She said, you know, got something else for you to do.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. And as I always say, we as Black folk have to stop tearing each other up.
Yep.
You know, yeah, there's some authors out there, I don't like the stuff they write, okay? But that don't mean I got to tear them up. You know,
right.
I don't have to call their work trash. That, you know, who left
right.
me in charge?
Right.
You know, we do too much of that. We do too much of that.
Right.
Now their writing technique may be bad. I'm not going to say all of them are good. But who left me in charge of saying
right.
whose work is trash and whose work isn't? We need
True.
To stop doing that. Or if
oh,
you
yeah.
feel strongly that somebody really blew it in their writing, tell them. Don't tell Facebook.
Yep. I agree. Now, Joyce, where can the readers find you at on social media? Drop your handle. And I love
yeah,
last little
know,
minutes
really,
as we talk.
I'm just really trying, and I want to thank you because you've been trying to help me out here. I'm going to get better. But I am, you know, I'm on Facebook. You can just, if you want my author page, which I'm just still working on, but I thank you for the help you've given me so far. It's called Live the Dream Publishers, Joyce A. Brown. And that's where they can go if they just want to start to look at my work. I've got an Instagram. Same thing, at Live the Dream Publishers. And so, you know, I got Twitter, all this at Publishers Live. So they can go there. They can go to my regular Facebook page. That's where they can find me mostly, although I'm trying to get better at these others. And my regular page is just Joyce Brown at Facebook. So right now, any of those will get you to me. And, you know, I did say I was going to give away a book tonight. So if you sign up on my author page, that Live the Dream Publishers / Joyce A. Brown, you know, I'm going to pick somebody and give them a copy of this book tonight. And they can have either a Kindle version or a hard copy version. They just got to sign up, and I'll pick somebody to get a book.
Okay. Well, all right, Joyce. Well, I enjoyed talking to you tonight, ma'am. I look forward to having you on the show again. I look forward to seeing you out. Hopefully, COVID lifts or a little bit of if it's not lifted, but long we could be outside. So I hope to see you soon.
Or go back and have us a cup of coffee together, something.
Right.
I just want to say, because I know you got other stuff to do. I'm proud of you. I'm proud to see you keep pressing the way you've been pressing, and I just want you to keep moving because you got talent.
Thank you, and I appreciate that so much.
All right.
All right. Well, Joyce, thank you for coming on tonight, and I'll talk with you soon.
Okay, Jeff. Thanks.
You're welcome. You take care. You too. Thank you.
Okay. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Right.
So there you guys have it tonight. We had on Joyce Brown. Joyce Brown is giving away a free book. So Mama Audrey, who is a regular listener, you can go to the message I'll put up in a minute, because I know you always go to the when I say thanks to the author for tonight. Hit that message up and ask Joyce if you can get that free book, or anybody else listening besides Mama Audrey. If y'all want to get a chance to get Joyce's free book, she's giving away a free book. We giving away free book. Hit the status up tonight if you didn't get her handles. Again, thanks to Joyce and Brown for stopping by. Next week, we talk to another Michigan author by the name of Coco Icy. Coco Icy is stopping by at the Saturday Spotlight next week. And again, as Joyce said before, we want to show respect and the passing of the late, great Eric Jerome Dickey. Eric Jerome Dickey wrote books such as Sister, Sister, Milk in My Coffee, The Gideon Series. He recently passed, I believe, of colon cancer. So we want to send condolences out to a great writer. I have been reading Eric Jerome Dickey since I was in high school. And to hear his passing, I didn't get a chance to actually meet him. And to hear of his passing was pretty sad, too. So thoughts and prayers and shout-outs go to his family of the late, great Eric Jerome Dickey. Eric Jerome Dickey. I think he was 50, 54, 53. Very young, but just recently passed. So my thoughts and prayers go out to the best-selling author, the late, great Eric Jerome Dickey. Again, next week, Saturday Spotlight, we talk to Coco Icy next week on the Saturday Spotlight. So you guys have a good week. It's been crazy going on this week coming up, but you guys have an awesome rest of the weekend and a good week. And always remember, what you do for Christ, the only thing you do for Christ will last. I'll see you next week on the Saturday Spotlight. Good night.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Saturday Spotlight with your host, Jeffrey.